Elder Adele Din, be faithful in performing your duties. Magnify the one who has called you to this high and holy office. Be zealous for the Church of Christ, hospitable, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. Love goodness, holding always to the mystery of the faith. Now, members of Chinese Community Church, why don't you please stand as we affirm your covenant with this elder that God has chosen and provided for us. Please respond to each of the following questions with the words, "We do." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you receive in the name of the Lord this elder as a duly elected and ordained servant of Christ?
We do.
Do you promise to respect her for the sake of the office for which she has been chosen and ordained?
We do.
Do you promise to encourage and pray for her to labor together in obedience to the gospel for the unity, purity, and peace of the church, the welfare of the whole world, and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Beloved people of God, receive this elder as Christ's own servant. Support her in love that her work may bear fruit. In the name and by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that this sister is duly installed as an elder in this church. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And at this time, I'll ask all the current and former consistory members to please join with me up here and to lay hands on Adele as I lead us in a prayer of intercession. All current and past consistory members, please. Just gather around. Okay, let's pray together. Let's pray. Almighty and ever-loving God, you taught us to pray for ourselves and for others and to give thanks for all of life. May every grace of ministry rest on this elder, Adele Din. Keep her strong and faithful that your church may prosper in peace. Grant her wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence that she may fulfill her charge to the glory of Jesus Christ. Bestow your grace on this people that they may support Elder Adele Din in prayer, cooperation, and encouragement to guard her from growing weary in doing what is right. Inspire your whole church with your spirit of power, unity, and peace. Grant that all who trust you may live together in love. Lead all nations in the way of justice. Direct those who govern. May they be fair, maintain order, support those in need, and defend the oppressed, that the world may know true peace. Give grace to all who proclaim the gospel through word and sacrament and deeds of mercy, that by teaching and example, others may come to live for you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you so much. This time we'll have the scripture reading.
Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 15 through 18. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced the wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms the covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is today.
If you could take out your sermon outline for this morning, this is a sermon I was prepared to give last Sunday, January 1st. Departure from the sermon series through the book of Ephesians since it's New Year's, and wanted to talk a little bit about making that transition from the past to the future year. I think we've all heard the expression at New Year's, out with the old, in with the new, and certainly there's some good advice in that saying. But obviously, when we look at the scriptures, the Word of God, Old and New Testament, we find that actually there are some old things that while we should forget them and move on and move to something new, we ought not to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and just dismiss everything that's in the past, because God has some very valuable blessings and lessons for us as we reflect on certain things from the past. So that's why it's called Back to the Future. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, at the beginning of every new year, we pause to reflect on the previous year. And as each of us stops to consider 2016, hopefully we can each identify areas of blessing and how you worked in our lives and worked in and through us, how you helped us to experience and to share your love more and more. But Father, as we anticipate this new year, we have a great hope and assurance because of your faithfulness in the past that you will continue to be faithful in the future. But I pray that you'll help us to discern and have your wisdom as to which things in the past you want us to discard and to leave behind, and which things in the past you want us to very much embrace, that we might not lose the lessons and the blessing that you have for each of us. So, Father, we just commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hopefully I have something to write with to fill in the blanks as we go along. But number one, some things from our past have no place in our future. Some things from our past have no place in our future. In Ephesians, as we've gone through the book of Ephesians this past year in the sermon series, there's actually a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. If we could pull that up. Thank you. You were taught, this is talking to believers, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. That means the kind of person we were before we came to faith in Jesus Christ. That old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23. To be made new in the attitudes of your minds. And then verse 24. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the old self is like before Christ, before we came to faith in Christ. The new self, now that we have this relationship in Christ, God has made us into new creatures. Now the reality is, God tells us that even as new creatures, we're all going to have times when we behave like the old self. That's because we have this battle with the sin that dwells within the flesh, this propensity, this force that the Apostle Paul talked about, the sin dwelling in our flesh in Romans chapter 7. And so that's a struggle that every Christian is going to have. And we all realize that there are times when we have the kinds of thoughts, the kind of attitudes, the kind of values, and the kind of behaviors that reflect our old life. That's just a reality in the life of every Christian. However, that's not to be our focus. We're not to dwell there. We're to ask God to give us the grace and the strength to live out the new life. Even though we won't live a perfect life, a sinless life, that is the new life we have in Christ. And we're not to dwell on the old man, the old person that we were before faith in Christ. There's also Philippians chapter 3 in verse 13, if you could pull this up. Now when the Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, he had been a believer for almost 30 years. And as most people are aware, you know, if you read the New Testament and you understand that in the entire history of the church, ever since Jesus was crucified and resurrected to this current day, if you say, who was the greatest Christian who ever lived? Most people would say, oh, it had to be the Apostle Paul. Now, there have been some fantastic Christians in the 2,000 years, but the Apostle Paul was just an amazing example to us of what it means to live the Christian life. And even though he'd been a Christian for about 30 years, this is what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, meaning this eventual face-to-face with Jesus in glory. Okay, he hasn't taken hold of that yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So even with all of his accomplishments in the Christian life, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, I don't live there. I don't focus on all the things that God has done in and through me in the past. I keep pressing on for what's in the future, which is to be in glory with Jesus Christ. That's the eventual goal for every single Christian, to be face to face with Jesus Christ in glory. And actually, in Philippians chapter 3, in the entire chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but let me just give you kind of a little breakdown. In chapter 3, verses 3 to 7, the Apostle Paul was talking about all his past human accomplishments before he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, he was a very devout Jew, and he had accomplished many things as a devout Jew, many credentials that in the Jewish world would be like, wow, this guy is at the top of being a Jewish leader in the Jewish faith before he came to faith in Christ. He was a Jew of the Jews, you know, and just like every possible thing that would make a Jew a fantastic leader in the Jewish faith, that was the Apostle Paul. But then in verses 8 through 12, he's talking about even as a believer, all the great things that God did in and through his life and ministry, he still kind of leaves that behind compared to the surpassing greatness of eventually being with Jesus face to face. Now, you know, one of many things I appreciate about this church family, I've been here for 8 years now, and one of the things I hear again and again, especially our Tuesday night men's Bible study, we have a number of brothers in Christ who go to other churches on Sundays, but they don't have a men's Bible study. So because they were invited by various individuals, they come to our Tuesday night Bible study. And one of the things I hear from them again and again as they share testimonies about our group is that they really appreciate the fact that it doesn't matter all the human distinctions that are represented by the men in that group. It doesn't matter about their educational background. It doesn't matter what their profession might be today and what their careers are today. It doesn't matter about socioeconomic differences that may exist. All those things sort of fade into the background because the only thing that really matters is that we are brothers in Jesus Christ. We have this bond in Jesus Christ, and we desire to grow closer to him and to be more like Jesus, and that's our common bond. And that's one of the great blessings about being a part of this church family, because there is that kind of pervasive attitude that exists among the entire church family here. We don't sort of emphasize and focus on these human distinctions. Where we went to school, what educational level, what socioeconomic status, whatever, we come to be a part of a church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we focus on that unity that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that's most precious and most important. And you know, I appreciate the fact that the 8 years I've been here, there's that kind of attitude. Because quite frankly, in 37 years of ministry, early on especially, I was a part of certain churches that were more conservative that actually had a huge overemphasis on not only education, but certain schools, certain seminaries that their ministers may have gone to. There was a church I was involved with in the Bay Area that they almost worshiped this one particular seminary in Dallas, Texas that I just happened to have gone to. Now, Dallas Theological Seminary has somewhat of a reputation among more conservative churches, and especially a certain group of Chinese churches is highly esteemed. As a matter of fact, when I graduated from this seminary back in 1979, I was the only Chinese-American graduate in my class of 200 graduates from Dallas Seminary. I was getting offers and invitations from Chinese churches I never even heard of because they wanted a Chinese-American graduate from Dallas Seminary. And some of my friends, you know, who were non-Asian or whatever, they were really, you know, kind of almost desperate looking around for different churches to interview at. Whatever. I was getting invitations. I was flying out to different places, not because I was such a great graduate or so gifted or whatever. I was the only Chinese-American graduate from Dallas Seminary. If you wanted a Chinese-American graduate from this particular seminary, I was it. Okay. Way overemphasis on something that really matters little, if anything, to God. That kind of overemphasis on education or a particular school is something that, you know, Paul's saying basically, he treats that stuff like rubbish. Meaning, it's not that it doesn't mean anything. Obviously, you know, I got some training there in preparation for ministry. But in terms of standing with God, what impresses God? What is God pleased with? It means nothing. It really doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, over the years, not only does it not matter what seminary you went to or Bible college, you begin to realize, you know what, there are some men and women who are serving God very faithfully who don't have any formal Bible training. Okay? Zero. Now, does that mean to some young person today who's thinking about ministry, you just say, forget Bible college or seminary? No, I mean, obviously it has its place. But don't overemphasize. Don't overfocus on it, because those things are like rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ, pleasing Him, walking in fellowship with God, that's far more important than all of these human distinctions. So education, social economic background, all these things really mean little, if anything, to God. Point number two. Now, these are two of the things that have no place in the future. You know, one is the old man, the old way of thinking, old attitudes, sinful focus in life where it's just all about me. That kind of old man thinking, that's in the past. Doesn't have any place for us in the future. Also, all of our human accomplishments, whether they be before I became a Christian or even after I became a Christian, all of these human accomplishments, I'm not going to focus on it, because like the Apostle Paul, it's more important to talk about the surpassing greatness of being with Jesus Christ face to face someday. So what about some things that we should focus on in the past? Well, number two in your outline, some things from the past encourage us in our future. Some things from the past encourage us in our future. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's go ahead and pull up that verse, please. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past, you know, like the whole Old Testament, was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Sometimes, you know, as a Christian today, and we tend to focus on the New Testament, which is understandable, but sometimes we got to remember, man, the Old Testament, why, you know, you talk about thousands and thousands of years of history, the people of God, why is that still important and relevant for us today? Thousands of years later, because God wants to provide us with hope and with encouragement as we understand, as we appreciate all that God was doing through different people, or the people of God thousands of years ago. Now, we all know many of the Bible stories from the Old Testament, but I wonder how many times they become very real and very relevant to us as we think about our own current situations. I mean, something like David and Goliath, you know, David and Goliath. You think, wow, okay, yeah, that's even been used in secular, non-Christian storytelling, because whenever there's an overwhelming odds of, you know, one very small force facing a much bigger force, they talk about David and Goliath. Well, from a biblical perspective, it's not just a small force taking out a bigger force, it's what that small force represents and the focus of that small force. David, young man, against Goliath, this huge giant, very experienced warrior. What did David represent? Not just a small force, but an individual who understood and lived out even to that point what it meant to trust God, who is bigger than any giant. Any overwhelming obstacle that opposes the purposes of God, David, that's what he represents. And for any of us who desires to walk in the will and purpose of God, no matter what the obstacle that God allows into our lives, no matter what Goliath-type obstacle that may seem overwhelming, we remember back thousands of years earlier, David and Goliath, young man who had that trust and that confidence in God. And when you read the passage again about David and Goliath, you also see certain little details. Remember, King Saul tried to give him his armor and tried to, you know, say, here's the way to do it. And David tried to put it on, and it just was cumbersome. So we learn that, hey, you know what? We're supposed to trust God and serve and live for Him uniquely. We don't have to imitate somebody else. God wants to use each and every one of us as unique individuals. What is the faith journey that God has for me? To trust in God and to face overwhelming pressures and struggles, no matter what it might be. If you've been around the last couple of months, you know it's been a difficult last several months for my wife and myself, our family, because her mother, who was 90 years old, her health was declining. About 3 months ago, she took a fall. It was her fourth fall in 4 years. She broke her shoulder, went to the hospital, then a nursing home, and then eventually came home under hospice care the last 3 or 4 weeks. And it was last Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. that she passed away and went home to be with the Lord. My father-in-law, one of the blessings was that God had provided this wonderful caregiver, Christian lady, who prayed and sang hymns and was just a wonderful, wonderful blessing. She continues to be the caregiver for my father-in-law. My father-in-law is 94 years old, and unfortunately, both my in-laws are very committed Christians. And he was with my mother-in-law to the very end, holding her hand, and my mother-in-law was at peace. She knew she was going home to be with the Lord, and so she passed very peacefully. So it's been a difficult couple of months, but again, I appreciate the support from the church family. And now, in just recent weeks, others have lost loved ones. And so this coming week, Thursday and then Saturday, I'm helping lead these two other funeral services while we're also continuing to plan and make final preparations for my mother-in-law's service on the 23rd. So just a lot of things on us. And, you know, I've shared with the church family before that we all have different ways of coping with our stress. And sometimes we have these involuntary signs of stress. Some people have stomach problems. Some people can't sleep. For me, it's this eye twitch. This little flap under my right eye just starts to twitch. And it's been twitching pretty bad the last several months. And it continues to twitch. And one of the things that's kind of, it's sort of humbling because, you know, when you're talking to people and you can kind of tell they're looking at your face and they can see this little twitch, you know, and they kind of wonder maybe, you know, what's wrong with you? And then you have to kind of explain a little bit, well, you know, I've just been under a lot of stress lately. But it's just a way to help remind me about how do I cope with stress? How do I cope with all these things in life that we're going through? Well, trusting God. Trusting God, really being thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for us and going through this journey, this particular part of our lives and our faith journey. The ups and downs of life. And it reminds us, when you look at the Old Testament, you see these ups and downs, some huge, huge mountaintop experiences and some huge, huge valley, walking through the valley of the shadow of death kind of experiences. And yet, watching how and learning how and appreciating how these men and women would trust in the same God that we trust in today. He's the same God. It can bring us encouragement. It can bring us hope. So these are things not to forget and say, out with the old, in with the new. We reflect back on how God has been working, not only in thousands of years in the Old Testament, but even in our own lives and in our own past, whether it be the past few months, past few years, past few decades. Point number three in your outline, some things from point number two, some things from the past encourage us in our future. Point number three, some things from our past remind us of God's faithfulness, His faithfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, remember, I've mentioned this passage in other sermons, God was preparing His people to take them into the promised land. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness, 70 years. Now He's about to bring them into the promised land, and He wants to give them some very serious warnings. They're going to experience great prosperity. They're going to experience wealth. They're going to experience all these material, physical blessings. And He reminds them, when you experience those things, don't forget where you were, where you came from, out of slavery in Egypt, okay, and how God faithfully took them through the wilderness and now has led them into the promised land. And it's so important that we not forget as well. We tend to forget. We, you know, I've mentioned this before, but we all tend to have spiritual amnesia. No matter how good our memories are in terms of names and places and dates or whatever, when it comes to the blessings of God, all of us have a very short memory. You know, God can answer some amazing prayers and just amazing blessings that some people have faced, you know, literally have faced life and death situations, and how we prayed together and God brought deliverance and healing and restoration and just, you know, praise God. And then what happens the next day or the next week? You know, something else comes up and all of a sudden it's like we forget. And so we have to constantly be reminded. And that's why we certainly don't want to forget all these blessings from the past that reflect God's faithfulness. And as I thought about this beginning of this new year, you know, for those of us who've been around here for a while, it was just a year ago. It's just a year ago that our church family collectively experienced some pretty major trials together in our concern certainly for Marilee with the cancer. And this past Tuesday evening for our men's Bible study, it was just a small group because it was really rainy and stormy and windy that night. You may remember Tuesday night. So there were four of us who were here. And so we just had a time of sharing together. And I shared with the guys, I said, you know, it was exactly a year ago, the first Tuesday in January, after our men's Bible study, Michael took me aside and said he wanted to talk to me about something serious afterward. And so Michael and I were in my office, and that's when he shared with me about Marilee's cancer. And, you know, that was one of those times when I'll never forget in terms of how sad and how upsetting that was to share that moment, though, with my brother Michael about his family situation with Marilee. I'll never forget it, but I'll tell you, you know, the thing that's important is the whole story, and to see how God worked in answering prayers and how Marilee was healed. And some of you may not remember, but the first Sunday that Marilee was able to come back to church was Easter Sunday. That was a real special Easter Sunday. But to be able to have that kind of experience and to reflect back on God's faithfulness in working not only for their family, but for our whole church family, what a blessing that was. And there are many other individuals in the part of the church family who've gone through similar trials, life and death situations, and how our church family prayed and provided support, and how we saw God work faithfully in and through those situations. God doesn't heal everybody. We know that, and we know that when people lose loved ones, say, well, where was God then? And sometimes there's those questions which are very, God understands, and you don't have to feel like, ooh, you know, you should never say things like that to God. No, God knows exactly how we're feeling, what we're going through. But through it all, even through the times of loss, how God is faithful in providing his presence and his comfort and helping individuals and families and as a church family to go through some of those very difficult times as well. And that's all part of how we're experiencing God's presence and experiencing and sharing God's love all through these ups and downs of life. So, new year, it's not out with the old, in with the new, like we just cast everything out. We want to cast out the things in the old that God wants us to cast out, you know, like the old man, old way of doing things, an old way of living, old human sources of righteousness and accomplishment. Just forget about all those things. They don't matter to God. Just count them like rubbish and press on to the things that really matter, being in God's presence, living a life pleasing to him. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, we reflect on the things in the past that bring encouragement for the future. And we also reflect on God's faithfulness in the past that gives us hope and encouragement for the future. So I do trust that all of us, as we continue in our individual lives, with our individual families, as a church family, we'll look forward to 2017 with that kind of hope and assurance because we reflect on God's faithfulness and all of his goodness in the past. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father God, thanks so much for who you are. You are the great God of the universe. God has no time boundaries or parameters. You existed from eternity past, and you will always be there. And thank you that you've given us the opportunity of simple faith and trust in you to receive the greatest of all gifts, eternal life, a never-ending relationship with you, the Almighty God of the universe. And thank you, Father, that you give us the wisdom to throw out the things from the past that have no value to us in our walk and relationship with you. But help us to embrace the things in the past that bring encouragement, that also remind us of your faithfulness, especially as we face challenges and trials and tribulations even this coming year. But Father, thank you that we don't face them alone, that you're always there with us, not only as individuals and with individual families, but as a church family, how your presence is so powerful and how you remind us of your goodness and your blessing in so many ways that you've been working in our midst. And so, Father, we give you all the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.